Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's time to play the game. Time to play the game.
It may be the nighttime,
but the sports talk doesn't stop.
Sports talk radio that's live, local,
and not for the faint of heart.
Oh, you didn't know?
Sometimes angry.
Loud noises!
Telling it like it is.
You insulted him a little bit. You got a little out of order yourself.
And pretty much always right.
Don't ever argue with the big dog. Big dog is always right.
Text or call 404-741-0929 and be part of the show.
Well, we're waiting.
Live from the Kia Studios, it's time for the John Chuckery Show. Serving you up sports on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
And welcome into Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Yes, it is time for the John Chuckery Show. Hanging out with you here in the Kia Studios on this Tuesday evening. Going to be with you for the full three. We ask you to download the Odyssey app. You're not in the car as much. You want to listen in. Put the Odyssey app on one of your devices today. You can use your smartphone, your Alexa speakers, your tablet, your Roomba, your Texas Instruments calculator, your Walkman, whatever your device is, just download it on something to be able to catch us when you are on the go. Social media is at 929TheGame on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And as always, the best way to be a part of this show is through our personal Twitter pages. I am at JMCH316. That is your water cooler talking points 3 to 6 months in advance of anybody else out there. But we have a new producer. So our big announcement as we go into today's show is, and you may have seen some of the tweets and obviously some different things going on, but we officially have Oren Romaine as our full-time producer now.
You got me, John Chuckery. I mean, you got me. How about that?
Now, he is at Oren Romaine. Now,
Send prayers and well wishes,
well,
my way. Thank you.
So I'm already disappointed because, not at you. We were supposed to have a special guest coming up.
Well, I'm not disappointed that the special guest couldn't come on.
Yeah, we were supposed to have a special guest, and I'll let the cat out of the bag because he said his phone's at 1% and he forgot his charger. Shocking. It would be Rob Tribble was going to call in, and we were going to all welcome you together. Now, I wanted A.J. Cannon to do some
serenade me.
Yeah, acoustic guitar work. And again, we'll probably have those guys in at some point on the show.
Oh, goody.
Yeah, so I don't get
a reprieve.
So I'll let you know a few hours in advance of when those guys are coming in studio, just to help.
Yeah, please let me know the producer of this show a couple hours in advance, so just so I have forewarning there.
Yeah.
As the producer, I should know those
things. By about 5:30 at night, I'll let you know, oh, yeah, hey, Rob's coming in for a little bit. So, but it's good to have you here. Listen, we go way back,
Oren. Yeah, we do.
Yeah, yeah. So, there will be nothing that's left off the table. You know, this is night, so we have some fun. Now,
the FCC is a bit more relaxed, which makes you even more scared
right now.
Right.
And so, Oren, we only go till 10 o'clock now. So that's the good
3 hours of my life.
Yes.
It's not going to be 3 hours to me. It's going to be 180 minutes. And then also, I can't do the math in my head right now, but however many seconds, that's what it's going to feel like to me instead of the singular 3 hours.
Well, listen, I tell you to count the segments backward, right? I think it's 12 segments that we do, right? Is it four segments in an hour? No.
It's three. I'm going to be – see, this is where I kind of get mixed up here. I've forgotten how the shows work past 7 o'clock. So if it's four segments, is it three and then the little one?
The only shorty that we do is the Love TKO right before the top of the 10
o'clock
hour.
So we have 10 segments then.
Yeah.
Three in the seven, three in the eight, and then four in the
nine. Now, what we don't do anymore is sports flashes.
Yes, that's what I was told.
Yes, so we don't do any kind of sports flashes. So that's why I miss—
No traffics, no sports flashes.
No, that's why I miss guys like Joe Patrick and stuff, you know, when they'd come in here and we'd have sports flashes and all that kind of stuff. Now, listen, it is Tuesday, so we will continue our tradition of rank-ems.
Oh, by the way, I have written about 9 or 10 of those.
Oh, okay,
sir. Yeah.
Excellent. No, I mean, listen, that's perfect because, again— We'll get into things like Marvel porn.
Why is it always the first place
We'll get into noises that Yoko Ono makes.
Why are those always the first places you have to go?
It would just be host.
I'm a father now. I have a one-year-old child.
It's part of the show.
I've left that Marvel porn world behind now, man. Like I'm all about like, you know, family things and family get-togethers and all that kind of stuff.
Well, at some point we're gonna have to get together. You know, with little Franklin and get my daughter because she loves Franklin. So
she better bring her running shoes now because that little joker is on the move.
Oh, that's good. Listen, I mean, I've been down that road. I've been down that road.
He's also almost 3 feet tall.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah, I went to the doctor. We had his 12-month appointment, and it's like, yeah, he's like 33, 34 inches. Like, oh, and in the 99th percentile for height. So you kind of see it now. There are shelves that he couldn't reach before that he can reach with ease. So that's always fun.
So he's got 33, 34 inches, and he's that tall too? See, we're 6 minutes in, and we've already got your head in your hands.
That's my child, John Chuckery. That's my child.
Now listen, there are no rules
on the
show. My
love, my world.
Listen, we all love Franklin.
Children are off limits, huh?
Yeah, no, listen, I mean, you know, look, I'm 51. At this point, nothing's off limits. I mean, nothing's—
Very true.
Nothing is off limits. I mean, again, I'm a step from away from, like, Freaky, who just— You know, again, you know, and all that, you know, kind of stuff. So nothing is off the table.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Nowadays, so
got the angry host and the jilted producer over here. So yes,
but it's great to have you, Orn. So we go way back. Love having Orn here. We're gonna have a lot of fun. I mean, so and listen, nothing about this involves Day Day. Day Day has been fantastic. Can't say many more good things about Day Day. I love Day Day. We had lots of fun and stuff like that. But, you know, again, there's just some tweaks and changes and stuff like that happening at the station. So you're doing Dukes and Bell as well, and then you're going to produce my show at night.
What it does is that it puts one person kind of on that show, and it puts one person on this show. And that's— stability is always, always, always preferred. So,
yeah. Oh, now, listen, I'm getting a text, right, literally— I'm getting a text right now from AJ Cannon. Hello, it's AJ. Heard my name come up just now and figured I'd shoot you a message.
As long as he sent a text and not a phone call, I'm good to go.
AJ, so just to give you an idea.
Lord help me, we are 8 minutes in. You've referenced AJ and Rob.
AJ, 404-448-1685.
You know, I can see his name when he pops up here on the caller ID.
Well, I mean, again, he's got an assumed name, so he goes—
I know his assumed name.
Yeah, he goes by Bo Bach. So
I'm better than answering the phone if Bo Bach calls.
So
yeah, hump.
So anyway, listen, we've got a lot to get into here this evening, so we'll talk to Scott Baer. So obviously, look, things did not go well for the Falcons on Sunday in jolly old London, and this is my first chance to react. We'll get— 7:40. We got Scott Baer coming up at 7:20. 7:40, we'll get deep into it. Then look, I had a lot of interaction over the weekend on Twitter with guys going back and forth and stuff. And, you know, it is amazing how many people are off the Desmond Ridder bandwagon. I mean, and look, I understand the frustration. And I said this, and I thought I said it very eloquently, but again, nothing is ever eloquent on Twitter, that I like Desmond Ridder. You know, I like that. I think Desmond Ridder's a winner, you know, and I think he's got— I think he did a lot with what he did at Cincinnati to be able to get them not just into the playoff, but again, they were in a Big Six bowl game in his junior year. They were in the playoff his senior year. Like, you have to have some ability to get a team and a program like Cincinnati to that level, to the level of where they've gotten chances to play Georgia and Alabama. So I like Desmond Ridder, but they've got to figure out some things from a coaching standpoint. And they've got to figure out some things about how to make him more comfortable. Now, again, I think he's throwing the football too much. And, you know, well, they're loading up the line. Well, you still do what you do best. Either your guys are better than their guys or we're in trouble. I mean, if our guys aren't better than what the defense is throwing at us, then we're in trouble. Because we're not going to be a team that's going to live on 40 passes in a game. That's not how we can live. I don't care how many first-round wide receivers and tight ends and unicorns and, whatever. What's the flying horse, Pegasus? Yeah, I don't care how many Pegasus and unicorns and everything else that we have. We're not going to be that kind of football team. Now, we're going to talk later on in the show because I'm going to bring up some numbers and stuff like that. But let me bring up the first number. And I tweeted this out last night. I tweeted this out last night. And I know we don't like to talk about line of scrimmage and different things like that and all the frustrations and stuff that go along with it. But I came up with a very simple stat over the last 2 weeks. And we talked about this last week. We talk about it this week again. So teams in the NFL, I don't care what your quarterback is. I don't care what your roster is, okay? The last 2 weeks in the NFL, teams that gave up one or zero sacks, their record was 15-3. So if you gave up one or zero sacks, no matter whether your quarterback can run, he's a statue, whatever, teams that gave up four or more sacks, their record was 1-16 the last 2 weeks. 1-16 the last 2 weeks. You have to influence the line of scrimmage. And right now, my biggest frustration is we don't influence the line of scrimmage on either side of the football. Well, the defense is playing well. Not when you give up 71.4% completion percentage the last 2 weeks. You can't live like that in the NFL. You can't live like that and come up with no sacks. I know they had two sacks in the game, but you've had two sacks the last 2 weeks, and you're not doing anything to influence the game. By the way, the Jaguars are no great shakes. They scored 26 points the last two games before we played them. They'd only averaged 13 points. It's not like they were some juggernaut offense. They were averaging 13 points a game the last couple of weeks before we played them. So my biggest problem, and we'll get deeper into this, is we don't influence the line of scrimmage. And what did I tell y'all at the beginning of the year that was still my biggest concern? And it remains my biggest concern. Not do we have enough running backs, wide receivers, safeties, and all this kind of stuff. Remember when I read you that quote from, who was it? The former GM, and I can't remember what the guy's name was. But they said, do the Falcons have enough people that influence the game at the most important places? And right now, we don't. Right now, we don't influence the game enough on either side of the line of scrimmage from my comfort level. And that's got to change starting Sunday because you can't afford to go lose three in a row and think we're going to all of a sudden win the division and be a playoff team. All right, very quickly, Braves await the winner of Marlins and Phillies. They will play at 8 o'clock starting tonight. Obviously, we've got playoff baseball coming up, but inter-squad scrimmages for the Braves here over the next few days, and we'll see what happens out there. United rolls Montreal, I should say, over the weekend. Philadelphia up next. So we've got Atlanta United soccer coming up tomorrow night, 7 o'clock pregame, 7:30 kick. Jason Longshore and Mike Connie will have the call for all of that. So Atlanta United wrapping the season up, I think, after tomorrow. Is it two matches? Two matches or three? I can't remember. Two or three. It's something like that. Either two or three matches that they have left. And Hawks Media Day yesterday. Are the Hawks better? Did we ever determine if their roster is better? Oh, no, it's not. Oh, okay. All right. All right, Scott Baer coming up from AtlantaFalcons.com. We'll try to figure all of this out with him. Chuckery hanging out in the Kia Studios with my new producer, Oren Romain. Sports Radio, not to the game, Odyssey.com app.
Yay.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game, back at a Chuckery Show, hanging out in the Kia Studios on this Tuesday evening with you. 404-726-0929. That is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. At JMCH316 on Twitter. He is at Oren Romain on Twitter as well. We're going to talk to Matt Mershell coming up at 8:20 this evening, so we'll get into some college football as, well, that was an awful, awful loss for Georgia Tech over the weekend. And, again, one of those 50-50 games that you absolutely have to have. And, of course, Georgia with their struggles against Auburn, but still a road win. And anytime you can do something like that, look, you take the win and you move on, you know, from there. So wasn't the prettiest win, but I thought Carson Beck played really well, and he did some really good things. So we'll talk to Matt Mershell. And again, if you remember, we talked to him before the season started, and I told him I thought that Florida State would be a playoff team this coming year. And, you know, obviously, so far so good for Florida State, but we will see what happens. But, you know, as we're getting ready to talk to Scott Baer here in just a couple of minutes, but look, you know, I'm frustrated too. You know, I'm a Falcons fan, and I'm frustrated too. But the idea of changing up quarterbacks and all this kind of stuff and all these different things and firing the coach and all these kinds of things, like, what does that solve? Like, what good organization does all those kinds of things? Seriously. Like, if we're talking about trying to be a playoff team, win the division, and all this kind of stuff, you think firing coaches and changing up starting quarterbacks is the way to go? Like, is that really the way that you have a successful division-winning team, by changing up everything? And I understand it. Again, I understand the frustration. Desmond Ridder was not very good on Sunday. He was inaccurate, and I think he takes too many sacks. I think he's partly gun-shy, you know, at this point. Falcons have given up the third most sacks in the NFL. They've given up the second most sack yardage in the league. Second most sack yardage in the league. Like, you can't afford to do that. You can't just give away all these yards. And it just, all of this kind of stuff ties in. You know, one of my other frustrations, you know, the Falcons are 22nd in the NFL as far as starting drives go. So there's a lot of frustration to go around for it. Let's head out to the WadeFord.com hotline. Let's talk to Atlanta Falcons digital managing editor Scott Baer, joining us here this evening. He's on Twitter at Scott Baer NFL. Scott, as always, buddy, appreciate a few minutes on the show with me tonight.
Yeah, man, thank you so much for having me. It's been an interesting first four games to the season, 2-2. some definite bright spots, some definite pain points as the Falcons move forward to play the Texans on Sunday.
So I don't, you know, to be honest with you, I don't want to get into changing quarterbacks and firing coaches and all this stuff, because I know that's the narrative going around from fans and stuff like that. But here's a couple of my frustrations. We have 119 pass attempts to, I believe it's 113 rushing attempts. And again, I know the way things dictate whether you're behind or this, that, and the other, but that doesn't feel like a recipe for success for this team when I don't care if it is only six more passing attempts. That just doesn't feel like a formula for success for what this team wants to do.
It is absolutely not, and I think that we've seen over the course of the last two games exactly why that's not working, because right now the Lions and Jaguars said, we're going to sell out, stop the run, and see if you can beat us. And the answer has been no twice to this point. I think in terms of a game going according to plan, you look at that Carolina game, right? And they were able to run a bunch and run consistently and then get up by two scores in the fourth quarter and let Grady Jarrett and David Onyemata and Bud and Calais get after the quarterback, right? And that's when the Falcons can be at their best. But they've been operating with these negative game scripts that aren't playing to their strengths. Now, I'm also with you, Chuck, that I think we can't just say, oh, they were behind, so they have to pass. Because go back to the Cleveland Browns game last year with that famous Arthur Smith, we're going to run the blank out of the football. Mm-hmm. And then they ran the ball 10 times, down two scores, and ended up winning that game. I agree with you that pass-to-run ratio needs to be more skewed. And balance is good, but play to your strengths, especially coming off of a two-game losing streak heading into a game with the Texans that look a lot tougher than they did on paper a couple months back.
So this is one of my other frustrations. And again, when you're asking, which, look, by and large, you know, there's, I know he had four games last year, and I know, but again, he's basically, I don't want to say a rookie, but he's a very young quarterback. We're 22nd in the NFL in average starting field position for drives on offense. I think it's the 27.1 yard line. That's another thing that you're asking a young quarterback, an inexperienced quarterback, to drive almost 75 yards for touchdowns on a regular basis. That's also not a formula for success.
Yeah, but part of that is the offensive component, right? If you're going three and out and you're gaining 5 net yards in the first quarter like they did against Jacksonville, you don't have the opportunity to flip the field like Jacksonville does. Because Bradley Pinion is a good punter. He has a big leg. I think special teams coverage is good. And defensively, they're playing, it's not bend but don't break, but they're willing to give up yards, and then they stand tall at very important moments. But I do agree with you that field position plays into this, but that's also like the need for first downs, the need for staying on schedule. Those types of things all go into this issue, because right now, with the way that the Falcons are starting slow, if you start quick, if you look at the 49ers or the Eagles, and they can jump on top of people, they are applying pressure. Over the last two games, the Falcons are absorbing pressure and falling into these boxes that they're having to try to punch their way out of. And that's not a recipe for long-term success, especially against top-tier teams. Let's be honest, Jacksonville, Detroit, very good. I think we're going to see them in late January. Can the Falcons join them? That's going to depend on their ability to get right, even if it's not scoring touchdowns every time, but it's generating first downs, getting the ball downfield, and to your point, playing that special teams game where Desmond Ridder doesn't have to go 75 yards every time. Because, if you go back to that Panthers example of a good game, Jesse Bates gave them good field position time and time again, and that's when they score their touchdowns.
AtlantaFalcons.com digital managing editor Scott Baer joining us here on the WaitFor.com hotline. So, and again, I'm going to tie this stat into it. You know, the other thing, too, is that the Falcons have given up the second most sack yardage in the league at 119 yards. That's a lot of yards to have given up in the NFL through four games. And, again, I don't know if it's a matter of – again, we could talk about whether Desmond Ridder needs to just one read, throw it. Does he need to use his legs a little bit more? Does he need – again, I don't know – I don't know what all of the answers are, Scott, but I know when I look at some of these numbers, you can't give up the second most sack yards in the league and think you're going to have good field. So that's the other part is, too, you're not going to have good field position when you give up that many yards, just wasted yards. And it just kind of all compounds to just the idea of this offense getting ahead of the chains and just trying to at least, you know, stay on course, even if you're not picking up third downs. You can't go from 2nd and 9 to 3rd and 19 and then take another sack and you know, on 4th and 21 have to punt.
Here's the reason why I'm enjoying this conversation right now, because it's so easy to scream, start Taylor Heinicke for as loud and for as long as you possibly can. But the stats that you're bringing up here, I think, are nuanced, because if you look at the structure of this offense, right, with the skilled players that they have brought in and drafted, and the amount of investment they've put into their offensive line with one major goal in mind in 2023, make life easy on your young, essentially a rookie quarterback, right? And these stats that you're bringing up are making it harder on your young quarterback, right? Mm-hmm. And making him have to press the ball downfield, making him have to go, to your point, 3rd and 9 or 3rd and 11, right? And those types of issues, we can add penalties in there as well. We've seen some penalties from offensive linemen like Chris Lindstrom that are very uncharacteristic. That, again, sets them back. I brought up negative game scripts, right? Like not being able to start quickly. It's making life just not exponentially harder, but just a little bit harder on a young quarterback that has been a notoriously slow starter in terms of within games. Even when he was in college, he's known as a gamer. He's got a bunch of fourth quarter comebacks. He's played well at home. We know all those stats, right? But to make life easier on this quarterback, if that's the ultimate goal of what they've done, they haven't done a good enough job of it, right? And they are 2-2. And I think that if you were to go back to April or May and take a look at the schedule and say 2-2 against this competition, like, you would absolutely take that. But now that we're in the thick of it, maybe you would have wanted more, because the talent on this roster, especially offensively, suggests a dynamic quality that we just haven't seen yet.
Scott, here's another number that has me a little bit concerned. The first 2 weeks in their wins, they gave up 53.9% completion percentage. And I know that they went up against a guy making his first ever start in the NFL and a guy making his third start in the NFL. But the last 2 weeks, they've given up 71.4% completion percentage. I don't care if you're a rookie. I don't care if you're a 40-year veteran at quarterback. If you allow NFL quarterbacks to complete almost 3 out of 4 passes in a game, that's also not a recipe for success. Again, besides turnovers, I mean, you know, is there concerns about the pass defense?
Yeah, I would say that we've seen this pass rush get activated at times, and it has looked really good. I think maybe it hasn't been as consistent enough, but when it comes down to it, is this, like, what's the identity of this defense going to be, and what are they willing to give you to not give up big time explosives? Now, I know Calvin Ridley just caught a 30-yard touchdown pass, and Sam Laporta caught one for 45 yards on what I believe were coverage miscommunication, get things down, right? Mm-hmm. But the thing that I agree that stat is troubling, but what I like about this defense is that when it I wish I had their third down conversion rate in front of me, but I don't. But when it matters most, they have shown up time and time again. Two major fourth downs, one against Jacksonville, one against Green Bay. They show up and make those stops. And I think that veteran presence to perform well under pressure is important. To your point, could they be a little stingier? Yeah, absolutely. I think that we've seen times where their interior run defense, for all the talent that's in the middle with Grady and David Onyemata and Caden Ellis, that they could be a little bit tougher there. That completion percentage, to be honest with you, I didn't know that. That's a bit troubling. But I think that as we look at this defense as a whole, I'm not as concerned about that number as I am about some of the other numbers that you've brought up to this point because of their clutch performance that I think has held up and ultimately kept points off the board. They held the Jacksonville Jaguars from a defensive perspective to 16 points. That's pretty good, right? They held Detroit to 20, right? And they got a takeaway. That's good. But so I'm not as concerned about this one as I am about the other ones that you brought up.
So last question for you, Scott. I said this about the game against Bryce Young to open up the season, and I'll say it again. You have to make young quarterbacks uncomfortable. And I think that this is a game where the defense really has to dictate things. I think you have to get creative and get pressure. And if you can't always do it with four, again, I'm not saying blitz on every down or anything like that, but you have to make young quarterbacks uncomfortable. That's the thing that always gets young quarterbacks at the end of the day. And I think this game is really, again, if they allow a C.J. Stroud to complete 75% of his passes, I mean, they allowed Trevor to complete 77%. If they allow that, this is a kid that's going to pick you apart. And I just think that this defensive front especially has to really dictate things to the Texans' offense.
Yeah, I think that that's true, and I think that it's going to be harder against Stroud than it was against Young. What's the best time to see a rookie quarterback?
Yeah.
In his first ever
week
NFL
yep.
game,
yep.
right?
Yep.
That's when you want to see him. He's going to be tougher in week 15, I think, when they play Carolina again. C.J. Stroud, this isn't my thought. It was something that I read, but somebody likened him to a young ace pitcher, a guy that in the seventh inning with runners on second and third, he's going to paint the corner, right? This is a paint-the-corner type of quarterback. So if you have to deal with that, you have to make him uncomfortable. The one thing that I would like to emphasize as we talk about some of these troubling trends over the last 2 weeks and what needs to happen against Houston, unlike the last couple years, we're not talking about a talent issue, right?
Right.
We're not saying the Falcons aren't talented enough at corner to be able to lessen or in the pass rush to lessen their ability to drop that completion percentage number. There is, and the reason why I bring this up is that if you want to confuse a young quarterback, if you want to make him uncomfortable, the Falcons have weapons to do it. Caden Ellis, for a middle linebacker who has a lot of responsibilities, very good at coming forward. Richie Grant, as we saw in some of these three safety packages, becomes an extra linebacker, almost like a Sam linebacker, and is good going forward. And I think that because Ryan Nielsen has these elements within his defense to try to make C.J. Stroud uncomfortable, I think that that bodes well. I have a lot of confidence in what Ryan Nielsen can do as a coordinator, and I believe that the talent is there to make him uncomfortable. Can they do it? We're going to find out. And this game, which, again, if you go back to May, probably write a big fat W next to it. And now you might write a question mark because Houston looks pretty good. And I do think that the Falcons are hungry. I think they are the more talented team. I think they have really good schematics, and they're back at home. And I think that this is one where we're going to need to see them execute better earlier and flip some of these numbers that you and I have been talking about.
Scott Baer, he is the AtlantaFalcons.com digital managing editor. You can follow him on his personal Twitter page, at Scott Baer NFL, and he joined me here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. Scott, buddy, appreciate the time on the show. Thank you so much, and we will certainly chat again soon.
100%, man. Love the conversation. Appreciate you.
Thank you, Scott. Appreciate it. When we come back, I'll react to what happened on Sunday and thoughts moving forward, thoughts all around the bend, and we'll get to it from there. Chuck Green, the Kia Studios. Sports Betting After the Game. Odyssey.com. On the game, back at a Chuck Green Show, hanging out in the Kia Studios on this Tuesday evening with you. Top of the hour, we'll get to a Falcons flyover here. One thing that is continuing in our trend. So I got on Day-Day about playing that god-awful generic bumper music. You know, some of those bumper songs. So Oren has picked right up on it, and he's got the rhythm, He's getting different songs. So I that's how I know we've got the right guy. We're not playing the same old stale bumper music in between breaks, though, like Oren's doing a good job of that. So if nothing else, Oren,
I'm playing good music.
Yes, I'll take yes. So, which is important in radio, which is one of those things is important for radio.
It's like a good sandwich. You know, what your content is sort of the essence, like the meat and all the accoutrement. But the bumper on the front of the beginning, you got to have a nice piece of bread to make a sandwich too. So,
well, yeah. And
it compliments.
And again, I mean, with all due respect, and I'm not trying to be an a-hole, but I am. you know, some of these generic bumpers are just dreadful. Like, they're just dreadful to listen to. So, again, I knew I could count on you, you know, for the music, and certainly we will get into the Brown Liquor Music Hour coming the final hour of the show. All right, look, I'm frustrated, you know, as well. There's a lot of things about this team, and I will continue to say, if you think that you're going to have success in the NFL when your quarterback is sacked 16 times in the first four games, and you, as a defense, have generated 5 sacks, that's not going to be a good result. You can miss me with all of these other numbers. I gave you those numbers at the beginning of the show for a reason. Because, again, there are people that fight me on this and argue with me and all these other kinds of things. And I had a guy on Twitter, oh, well, all sacks aren't the same and all that. What difference does it make? The Falcons have given up the second most sack yards in the league. It doesn't matter whose fault it is. Again, if you cut off your right hand in a farming accident, does it really matter? Or does what really matters the fact they're going to call you lefty for life? That's what matters. The net result. You see, you just got that joke, Oren. The net result is what matters. And the NFL is a net result business. And there are certain things that on offense and defense you have to do. I brought up that fact, 119 pass attempts to 113 rush attempts. That's not where this team can live. I know they want to be more balanced and all that kind of stuff. But for right now, when you have an underdeveloped rookie quarterback, and the more you ask of him, the less successful it's going to be for right now. You have to lean on some of these other guys. You have to lean on what your offensive line does best. They are a run block first offensive line. Caleb McGarry, for 4 years, has never been a good pass blocker. And what did I tell you? I'm watching Dolman get pushed around. Did I not say months and months ago, my concern is a rookie left guard and an undersized center. We had that 2 years ago. How'd that work out with Jalen Mayfield and Matt Hennessy? There are just certain trends and things that you can't continue to do. I am more worried than Scott is. 71.4% completion percentage. You think you can let quarterbacks stand back and just huck it around at a 70-75% clip and think you're going to win? You know, not everybody's the Panthers' offense. Jacksonville had only scored 13 points a game the last 2 weeks that they had played. You can't continue to do these things. And these things have to change this weekend. Now, I feel pretty confident that the Falcons at home get it on track against a team that, on paper in a lot of ways, they should be more talented than. But the game's not played on paper. And if you think you're going to let C.J. Stroud stand back and complete 3 out of every 4 passes, that he's going to torch you. If you think that you're going to be able to just run it or pass it 38 times and run it 30, that's not a good ratio. That's not where we are and how we live with this team. And again, I'll ask the question at 9 o'clock, do we influence the line of scrimmage enough? You know, I've gotten this argument with people. Why have the San Francisco 49ers, why have they been in 5 of the last 10 NFC championship games. Orin, three quarterbacks and two different head coaches. And they've been to five of the last 10 conference championship games with three quarterbacks and two different head coaches and no first-round quarterback. You know why?
It has something to do with those guys that play up front, I'm guessing. Yes.
They are the best line of scrimmage franchise in the NFL. They are always not good, great on their offensive and defensive line. Orin, what did the 49ers go out and do this offseason? They had Bosa and Warner and Arden Key and all these guys. What was the first thing they did?
They signed some dude from Philadelphia.
Yeah, for $84 million. Because that's what their playing personality is. Be the best line of scrimmage team. We can get away with lack of skill position, lack of quarterback, but good head coaching and great line of scrimmage play. And let's see, five out of the last 10 conference championship games. This isn't Joe Montana and Steve Young anymore. This is Brock Purdy, Colin Kaepernick, and Jimmy Garoppolo. But they're great there. And until I see us be consistently great at the line of scrimmage, I'm always going to bring this up. Because that's winning football. You think part of the reason that the Lions have turned it around is because they added a Penei Sewell and an Aiden Hutchinson into their roster and they infused that line of scrimmage talent? You think that isn't a part of the reason why they are trending upward the last couple of years? Of course it is. But we talk about shiny objects and toys and all this kind of stuff. And again, I said this earlier. You think changing coaches and changing out your quarterbacks and stuff like that, like that's going to be the solution to this? You think that's the solution? Well, if we bench our quarterback and we fire our head coach, then we'll start winning.
By the way, Javon Hargrave already has 3 sacks this season.
Of course he does. Of course he does. That's not a formula for success. And I'll talk about another quarterback that a lot of people had doubts about. We'll talk about that coming up at 9 o'clock. But we don't influence the line of scrimmage enough. We don't. We don't lose because we don't target Kyle Pitts enough. We don't lose because our safety isn't making enough plays. We lose because you've seen it the last couple of weeks. We don't influence the line of scrimmage. When your offensive line can't block and do anything, and you're giving up sacks everywhere, and we can't do enough to influence the line of scrimmage on our defensive front, you're going to lose. It's not hard to figure this all out. You don't have to look any further than 3.5 feet from the football and figure out why we're where we're at. It's not Bijan Robinson. It's not getting him enough touches, this, that, and the other. You have to do steal a line from Bo Bock. Your playing personality is to run the football. And you know what? I don't care if they line up. Then you bring in Parker Hesse, who went to IR, but you bring in Harper LaBelle to play tight end and block somebody. He's not going to know any different. You bring your biggins in and you block people, and that's what you do best. And until we get back to Falcons football, guess what? These games, and by the way, we're not playing the best of the best of the best of the best. It's been the Jaguars who've underachieved, the Lions who are a good team, a stinky Carolina team who's dreadful, and a Packers team with a quarterback who's making his third ever start. I'm frustrated, but some of these solutions that y'all come up with aren't going to get us anywhere. All right, Falcons flyover coming up at the top of the hour. We'll give you some of the Pro Football Focus grades from Sunday's game. Chuck in the Key Studios, Sports Radio, Nats on the Game, Odyssey.com app.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
On the game, back at a Chuckery Show, hanging out in the Kia Studios on this Tuesday evening with you. Top of the hour, we'll get to a Falcons flyover here. One thing that is continuing in our trend. So I got on Day Day about playing that god-awful generic bumper music. You know, some of those bumper songs. So Oren has picked right up on it, and he's got the rhythm. He's getting different songs. So I that's how I know we've got the right guy. We're not playing the same old stale bumper music in between breaks. Like Oren's doing a good job of that. So if nothing else, Oren,
I'm playing good music.
Yes, I'll take that. Yes. So, which is important in radio, which is one of those things is important for radio.
It's like a good sandwich. You know, what your content is sort of the essence, like the meat and all the accoutrement. But
right. The
bumper on the front of the beginning, you got to have a nice piece of bread to make a sandwich too. So,
well, yeah. And
it compliments.
And again, I mean, with all due respect, and I'm not trying to be an a-hole, but I am. You know, some of these generic bumpers are just dreadful. Like, they're just dreadful to listen to. So, again, I knew I could count on you, you know, for the music. And certainly we will get into the Brown Liquor Music Hour coming the final hour of the show. All right, look, I'm frustrated, you know, as well. There's a lot of things about this team. And I will continue to say, if you think that you're going to have success in the NFL when your quarterback is sacked 16 times in the first four games and you, as a defense, have generated 5 sacks, that's not going to be a good result. You can miss me with all of these other numbers. I gave you those numbers at the beginning of the show for a reason. Because, again, there are people that fight me on this and argue with me and all these other kinds of things. And I had a guy on Twitter, oh, well, all sacks aren't the same and all that. What difference does it make? The Falcons have given up the second most sack yards in the league. It doesn't matter whose fault it is. Again, if you cut off your right hand in a farming accident, does it really matter? Or does what really matters the fact they're going to call you lefty for life? That's what matters. The net result. You see, you just got that joke, Oren. The net result is what matters. And the NFL is a net result business. And there are certain things that on offense and defense you have to do. I brought up that fact. 119 pass attempts to 113 rush attempts. That's not where this team can live. I know they want to be more balanced and all that kind of stuff. But for right now, when you have an underdeveloped rookie quarterback, and the more you ask of him, the less successful it's going to be for right now. You have to lean on some of these other guys. You have to lean on what your offensive line does best. They are a run block first offensive line. Caleb McGarry, for 4 years, has never been a good pass blocker. And what did I tell you? I'm watching Dolman get pushed around. Did I not say months and months ago, my concern is a rookie left guard and an undersized center? We had that 2 years ago. How'd that work out with Jalen Mayfield and Matt Hennessy? There are just certain trends and things that you can't continue to do. I am more worried than Scott is. 71.4% completion percentage. You think you can let quarterbacks stand back and just huck it around at a 70-75% clip and think you're going to win? You know, not everybody's the Panthers' offense. Jacksonville had only scored 13 points a game the last 2 weeks that they had played. You can't continue to do these things. And these things have to change this weekend. Now, I feel pretty confident that the Falcons at home get it on track against a team that, on paper in a lot of ways, they should be more talented than. But the game's not played on paper. And if you think you're going to let C.J. Stroud stand back and complete three out of every four passes, that he's going to torch you. If you think that you're going to be able to just run it or pass it 38 times and run it 30, that's not a good ratio. That's not where we are and how we live with this team. And again, I'll ask the question at 9 o'clock, do we influence the line of scrimmage enough? You know, I've gotten this argument with people. Why have the San Francisco 49ers, why have they been in 5 of the last 10 NFC championship games, Orin, 3 quarterbacks and 2 different head coaches, and they've been to 5 of the last 10 conference championship games with 3 quarterbacks and 2 different head coaches and no first-round quarterback? You know why?
It has something to do with those guys that play up front, I'm guessing.
They are the best line of scrimmage franchise in the NFL. They are always not good, great on their offensive and defensive line. Orin, what did the 49ers go out and do this offseason? They had Bosa and Warner and Arden Key and all these guys. What was the first thing they did?
They signed some dude from Philadelphia.
Yeah, for $84 million. Because that's what their playing personality is. Be the best line of scrimmage team. We can get away with lack of skill position, lack of quarterback, but good head coaching and great line of scrimmage play. And let's see, 5 out of the last 10 conference championship games. This isn't Joe Montana and Steve Young anymore. This is Brock Purdy, Colin Kaepernick, and Jimmy Garoppolo. But they're great there. And until I see us be consistently great at the line of scrimmage, I'm always going to bring this up. Because that's winning football. You think part of the reason that the Lions have turned it around is because they added a Penei Sewell and an Aiden Hutchinson into their roster and they infused that line of scrimmage talent? You think that isn't a part of the reason why they are trending upward the last couple of years? Of course it is. But we talk about shiny objects and toys and all this kind of stuff. And again, I said this, you know, earlier. You think changing coaches and changing out your quarterbacks and stuff like that, like that's going to be the solution to this? You think that's the solution? Well, if we bench our quarterback and we fire our head coach, then we'll start winning.
By the way, Javon Hargrave already has 3 sacks this season.
Of course he does. Of course he does. That's not a formula for success. And I'll talk about another quarterback that a lot of people had doubts about. We'll talk about that coming up at 9 o'clock. But we don't influence the line of scrimmage enough. We don't. We don't lose because we don't target Kyle Pitts enough. We don't lose because our safety isn't making enough plays. We lose because you've seen it the last couple of weeks. We don't influence the line of scrimmage. When your offensive line can't block and do anything, and you're giving up sacks everywhere, and we can't do enough to influence the line of scrimmage on our defensive front, you're going to lose. It's not hard to figure this all out. You don't have to look any further than 3.5 feet from the football and figure out why we're where we're at. It's not Bijan Robinson. It's not getting him enough touches, this, that, and the other. You have to do what you're – to steal a line from Bo Bock, your playing personality is to run the football. And you know what? I don't care if they line up. Then you bring in Parker Hesse, who went to IR, but you bring in Harper LaBelle to play tight end and block somebody. He's not going to know any different. You bring your biggins in and you block people, and that's what you do best. And until we get back to Falcons football, guess what? These games, and by the way, we're not playing the best of the best of the best of the best. It's been the Jaguars who've underachieved, the Lions who are a good team, a stinky Carolina team who's dreadful, and a Packers team with a quarterback who's making his third ever start. I'm frustrated, but some of these solutions that y'all come up with aren't going to get us anywhere. All right, Falcons flyover coming up at the top of the hour. We'll give you some of the pro football focus grades from Sunday's game. Chuck Green, the Key Studios, Sports Radio, Nats on the Game, Odyssey.com app.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.